It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a podcast. Step two. Ah! I can't believe it's been this long, y'all. It's been like almost a month since we had an edition of the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. We are back. We are in full effect this evening. It is Thursday night, August the 21st, I believe. Yes, it is. And I'm glad to be here, y'all. Thank you for listening. My name is Jay Hicks. I'm your host. We're going to be talking a lot about football this evening, something that I love, something that you probably love. That's why you're tuning in. And it's just been a lot has been going on in my life personally. I kind of took a hiatus from the site there for a little bit, and I did the same thing from the podcast. But now we're back in full swing. Got a couple articles up on the site. Please check them out, hiphopsportsreport.com. Check those out. Did a little blurb on Johnny Manziel. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the evening. Also, did a piece on J. Cole dropping a new song called Be Free in the wake of the tragedy and the strife going on in Ferguson, Missouri. So we all want to make sure that we send our prayers out to those that are you know, marching, protesting, those affected by the Michael Brown tragedy, Michael Brown himself and his family, all that stuff that's not lost on us this evening. But you know, definitely we're here for a good reason, and we want to have a lot of fun this evening. Hit up the site again, hiphopsportsreport.com. Hit us on Twitter at HHSReport. We are also on Facebook at hiphopsportsreport.com. Like us there, and then also check out the podcast. The Hip Hop Sports Report podcast is on iTunes as well, so go ahead, check it out, like it, rate it, subscribe it, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have a lot of fun this evening. I have a very special guest with us this evening, joining us on the Your Ad Here hotline on the preseason podcast of the year, because we haven't found a sponsor just yet. So in the meantime, the preseason podcast of the year, we're just sponsored by Your Ad Here. You know what I mean? We're just trying to make it known that opportunity's out there. If somebody wants to, you know, have somebody endorse their product, you know, I'm willing to do that. But that aside, very special guest joining us, very good friend of mine, a man that knows football very, very well. He is the man who is largely responsible for me getting involved in radio and podcasting. He and I actually had a football show known as the All Football Show back in the award-winning All Football Show back in 2010-2011, and that was when we were in college together, and now we've advanced several years later. This life event that I'm speaking of that I was so busy with, I actually got married a couple of weeks ago, so that's what that was all about. And this gentleman was in attendance. He saw it. And this gentleman, since the last time we've been on the air together, he just informed me that he's had 3 kids in the time that we've last been on the air together. So lots of stuff has been changing between the two of us, but we've always remained tight. And this man is my friend to the end. He goes by the name of Adam Clark. Very special guest, and a man who loves Christ. And you know, we don't talk a ton about religion here on the podcast, but this man is very much into the faith, and he preaches the word everywhere he goes. And I would be remiss if I spoke about him and did not mention that part of his life, because it is such a large part of his life, and he is one of my very best friends. And the guy knows football, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Adam, to the podcast. How you doing tonight?
I could not be happier to be here, my friend. I am so excited about resurrecting what was 2 of the most fun years of my life, the second of which was when you joined me on the All Football Show, and we just chopped it up every Tuesday evening, and I always look forward to it, and it was so much fun. And like you said, we've remained tight since. I just couldn't be happier to be here. And what an introduction. Man, what an introduction. Thank you for that. I feel like I didn't deserve that. And thank you for mentioning faith. I do feel like, man, that's something that, you know, you and I, that was a major part of our friendship and major part of what made us more than just guys who talk about sports on the side and have a good time with that. So I feel like that does honor to our friendship. And yeah, let's get this thing going.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And like I said, you deserve all the praise in the world, man. I mean, I love me some Adam Clark. I'm not afraid to say it. I'll shout it from the rooftops. I tell you about it 8 days a week, you know what I'm saying? Twice on Sunday, it's all good, man. So, yeah, let's dive right into some football, man. And again, I want to apologize to our listeners. It's been so long since we've spoken. Since we've spoken last, okay, LeBron James came back to Cleveland, just like we said he would on the podcast. Hello, that happened. Okay, we said it just before the draft. We said there was a possibility it could happen. Then right before, I think the week that LeBron came back, we did another podcast saying that all the signs were indicating that LeBron was coming back. And then that Friday, he made the announcement that he was coming back. And it looks like the Cavaliers are going to get Kevin Love. As a Cleveland native, I cannot be happier about all of this. But and I'm going to have a little piece on Kevin Love coming up shortly. Once that trade gets finalized, we'll go ahead and send that out. But just a lot of stuff has happened in the sports world. And we're going to talk a little bit on the podcast in the near future about the pennant race and college football. But tonight we're going to do the first of a two-part podcast where we focus specifically on the NFL season. We're going to preview the NFL. Last year, for those of you who may recall, we did a I wrote everything on the website. All my predictions were written. This year they're going to be in audio form due to the fact that I've had all this personal stuff going on. I haven't had a chance to get out in front of the laptop and write this stuff out, you know, going on the honeymoon, laying on the beach and whatnot. You know, that'll make you a little bit lazy, guilty, whatever. But we're still going to do the podcast, and we're going to bring you those predictions and that preview for the NFL season this year on the podcast this time. Last year I had the Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl before the season started, and that came to fruition. So let's see if we can make it 2-for-2. Now, we're just going to focus on the AFC this evening because it's just too much to get into in one podcast. I can't cram it all in there. We're just going to focus on the AFC tonight. We're going to do the NFC in the near future. And we're going to start, I think we're going to start with the AFC West because the AFC West is home of the defending AFC Conference champions, the Denver Broncos. Adam, you are an Indianapolis native. Therefore, you love Peyton Manning. You and I, in fact, have had many a debate about Peyton Manning's, I don't want to say greatness, because we know he's great. I know he's great. You know he's great. But I guess his place in history and his comparison to Tom Brady, we differ on that quite a bit. But nonetheless, I recognize Peyton's greatness because, I mean, Stevie Wonder can see that that man is brilliant and gifted at quarterbacking. He was put on this earth to do that. And you see it manifest itself every year because Peyton Manning teams, you could book it. They win 11 games bare minimum every single year. So when we're talking about the Denver Broncos this upcoming season, we already know they're going to win at least 11 games. We already know. Unless Peyton goes down, they're winning 11 ball games. So that's where we need to start this discussion. But The what's different about this team when in Denver than last year is the schedule, and their schedule is much more difficult this year. They in fact, the last 2 years, I kind of thought Denver kind of got over a little bit on the schedule. This year, not so much, especially with two other teams in the AFC West having made the playoffs last year. This year, Denver has 9 games versus playoff teams from a year ago. They have Von Miller coming off the torn ACL. They lost a few guys. They lost Champ Bailey, who is kind of like the heart and soul of the team. They brought in Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward to help shore up the secondary. They brought in DeMarcus Ware to help rush the passer. But this year, again, going back to the schedule, Denver has road games against Seattle, St. Louis, New England, Kansas City, San Diego, and Cincinnati. Those are all their road games this year. Because the AFC West is going to be playing the NFC West and also the AFC North. So with them playing the NFC West, that means Arizona, that means St. Louis, that means Seattle, and that means San Francisco. So though that's a ridiculously tough schedule for all the teams in the AFC West, specifically the Broncos, because they were the best team there. They lost Eric Decker. They lost Knowshon Moreno. And they're basically promoting Monte Ball to the starting position. They're basically kind of at a Super Bowl or bust kind of situation here. And I'm going to throw out a quick stat before I throw it back to you, Adam, and get your thoughts on the Broncos. But quick stat, Super Bowl losers typically don't fare too well the following season. I think some people know that, but they typically take a significant step back. And just to put it in perspective, the last team to lose the Super Bowl and come back to win it the following season were the Miami Dolphins in 1973. We're talking over 40 years ago. And then the last team to lose the Super Bowl and just make it back to the Super Bowl, win or lose, that hasn't happened in 20 years since the Buffalo Bills did it the last time, you know, of their run of four straight Super Bowls. So to Denver, we know Denver's going to be playing inspired ball with the announcement that Pat Bowlen was stepping down from CEO due to his Alzheimer's diagnosis, and so we hope he has better days ahead of him. But that's going to be tough on the entire Broncos family. We know they're going to be playing inspired ball for that reason, but it's just hard to go against history when you look at how teams that make it to the mountaintop and then come up short, it's just so difficult to get back there. So you know, we're gonna open it up and we're gonna talk a little bit more freely about the different teams in the division, but I wanted to focus on Denver first because they are the champs and they deserve it. Adam, what do you think the Broncos are gonna look like this year?
Well, more specifically, I'm concerned about what Peyton Manning is gonna look like this year. I think the Broncos are gonna be great. Like you said, it's hard to book them for anything less than 10 wins, even with that tough road schedule. I mean, you gotta imagine they're gonna sneak out a couple of those, if not win them in pretty dominant fashion. I mean, even against the likes of the Cincinnati, Bengals and the New England Patriots, those are teams that any given week by a Broncos offense, as staunch as they are beatable teams. Now, what I would say about not just Peyton Manning, but I also think Tom Brady, is you're seeing the sun begin to set on the careers of two all-time great quarterbacks. The fact that we've gotten to see these two guys play each other as many times as we have is just an amazing thing in the history of sports, that we have gotten to enjoy this rivalry. And like you said, this is massive fodder for conversation between you and I. The lengths at which we have delved into the Manning-Brady conversation, it's almost shameful, the amount of time that we put into it. However, it's been fruitful because I have come your direction a little bit. I have become less of a fanatic and more of a reasonable man, and I give credit to you on that, Justin Hicks. And I will say this, Peyton Manning is nearing the end of a race. And when I used to be a distance runner back in high school, my dad used to stand close to the finish line, like a quarter of a mile away. And he always used to say, "Everybody's tired. Now you got to show them what you got left." He would say something to the effect of, "Everybody's tired. Show them what you got left." And I got to say, this is the moment in when we're talking about the legacy conversation of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. This is the moment where we're standing about a quarter mile from the finish line and we're saying, "Okay, Peyton, he's tired. Tom, he's tired. Now let's see who's got more left in the tank." And I think this year and next are going to be the defining ones for Peyton Manning's legacy, especially because he's only got one ring and Tom's got three. So I'll be very, very interested to see how those two dudes fare. I'll be very interested to see how particularly that game goes. But yeah, that's kind of my take more specifically on Peyton than the Broncos, because I think the Broncos are going to do well. I think they're in a very winnable division. And so I don't see them having a difficult time making it to the playoffs again this year. Whether they go deep there is a matter of Peyton's stamina, and I don't know, maybe how his neck's doing.
Well, that's all true, Adam. The one thing I would say in somewhat of a rebuttal to that would be, I don't know if the sun is setting on these guys' career just yet, because we're seeing a new age of football where the rules are a lot more lenient. We're seeing it in preseason already with the illegal contact stuff and all these flags and that are basically put out there by the officials and by the league that are designed to increase offense. And they've crafted the NFL in a way that it is specifically designed to aid quarterbacks, and we all know that now. And I think part of that is as a result, we're seeing more longevity from the game's great players. So even though Peyton Manning had this horrific neck injury, Tom Brady had that bad knee injury several years ago, both players bounced back and won Comeback Player of the Year, and they were, you know, they've been at the top of their game since then due to the advancements of modern medicine. But then in addition to that, the league has structured things in a way that it allows quarterbacks to play a lot longer. They're throwing flags if you hit them too low. They're throwing flags if you hit them too high. They're throwing flags if you hit them too hard. So we're really trying to preserve our best signal caller. So guys like Manning and Brady, as long as they can throw it and put it where they want to put it, they might be playing for a lot longer than we thought. And Peyton Manning at age 38 or whatever he is now, he's had probably the greatest season that any quarterback has ever had in the history of the NFL last year. So it's hard to imagine that they don't have a ton left in the tank. I mean, I agree with you. They're on the back nine. No question there. But, I mean, Tom Brady says he wants to play into his 40s. I don't see why he couldn't do that right now. There's been no fall off, and there's certainly been no fall off with Peyton Manning. Looking over the AFC West a little bit more closely, Kansas City, and actually before I do that, one thing I forgot to mention was I have this method, y'all, and some of y'all may want to know the method behind the madness. I really try to come up with a formula, if you will, that allows me to make the predictions that I make in the preseason. And so I've come up with an acronym. It's called SLAP. That's the name of the acronym, SLAP. And what that means is schedule, injuries, there's an I in there, injuries, last season, how did the team fare last season, what did they look like, additions and subtractions, in other words, roster moves, things of that nature, draft, coaching changes, whatever, and lastly, purpose. Schedules, injuries, last season, addition, purpose. SLAP. That's kind of what I come up with when I'm trying to decipher which teams can go the extra mile in the preseason. Those are the things that I kind of take into consideration. So knowing that, going forward, we have Kansas City in this division, 11-5 last year, tons of talent on the roster. Jamaal Charles is a beast. Possibly the best running back in the league. He's right up there at the top of the list. I think at one point in his career he was underworked, but now he might be overworked if you look at his touches the last couple of years. He had 320 touches 2 years ago and 329 touches last year. I don't know if Andy Reid is overworking him or what. Kansas City also was built on their defense and special teams last year. They scored 12 touchdowns on defense and special teams last year, which is ridiculous. I don't know if that was a fluke or not. I think it's questionable. However, they did score 3 defensive and special teams touchdowns in their first preseason game. And they brought in the Black Mamba, DeAnthony Thomas from Oregon, to return kicks, and that kid can fly. So maybe that's not such a fluke. Kansas City was a little bit they didn't make any major offseason moves, but they do have a schedule this year where, or last year I should say, they were 11-5, but they were only 1-5 against other teams that made the playoffs. And now this year they're going to be playing New England, Seattle, San Francisco, St. Louis, Arizona, Pittsburgh, and then Denver and San Diego twice. And then a lot of people have questions about Alex Smith. Let me just say this about Alex Smith. He's played 3 playoff games, right? He's 1-2 in those 3 games, but he did take the 49ers to the NFC title game about 3 years ago. Did you know, Adam, that Alex Smith in his playoff career has 9 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions? And he has a passer rating of 108, and that's the highest among active quarterbacks in the National Football League? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay, so I'm just saying, like, that is pretty remarkable stuff, and a lot of people have their questions about Alex Smith. Granted, it's a small sample size, only 3 games, I get that, but I would take that right now. I mean, again, I'm from Cleveland, y'all. We haven't had a quarterback since Bernie, and I don't even know if we got one now. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but, you know, that's pretty damn good, and he did lose a fumble in the game against the Colts last year, but that was a crazy game that they lost to Indy last year in the playoffs, but you know, they might not have even lost that game had it not been for some of the injuries that they suffered in that game. And Alex Smith threw 4 TDs and no picks that night. But in a division with Peyton Manning, it just feels like they're playing for second place. San Diego, real quick, was 9-7. They also made the playoffs. They kind of caught lightning in a bottle, it seemed like, with Mike McCoy in his first year as head coach. They have a new offensive coordinator. Ken Whisenhunt left, took the job in Tennessee. Now they have Frank Wright running the show there. San Diego was a super balanced team, very good all around. Didn't really excel at anything, but Phillip Rivers had probably arguably his best year of his career last year, believe it or not. Even though he's had better weapons in the past, he was phenomenal last year. And the key for San Diego was ball control. But I think the secret's out now, and I don't know if they'll necessarily be able to duplicate that. And then going down the stretch of their season, San Diego could easily be 5-1 if you look at the first part of their schedule. Going into games against Kansas City and Denver back-to-back, they have that Denver on a Thursday night. But down the stretch, they have St. Louis, they're at Baltimore, home to New England, home Denver, at San Francisco, at Kansas City. That's tough down the stretch. So even though San Diego won, I think, 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 last year to end the season, they could be faced with the exact opposite situation this year. And they did bring in Brandon Flowers to help shore up the secondary. And they have former Colt Dwight Freeney coming back from that injury. Because he didn't really get to play last year. Lastly, we have the Raiders, obviously. There's rumors that they might be moving to San Antonio. Really? The San Antonio Raiders? I don't think that that's really going to happen, but it'd be kind of funny if it did. But I wouldn't wish that on any team, because my team got ripped out of my city, so I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Oakland, it looks like they're making a concerted effort to rush the passer. They brought in Justin Tuck. They brought in Lamar Woodley. They added Khalil Mack with the 5th pick in the draft. Although Dennis Allen, the coach, he kind of appears to be a lame duck coach. Like, you can kind of see him getting fired midseason if things don't go well. They brought in Maurice Jones-Drew to come back to California. He's going to compete with Darren McFadden for the starting running back job. They also brought in James Jones, the receiver from Green Bay. Matt Schaub's going to be their quarterback now. So they have a legitimate NFL quarterback there. I don't know if Schaub's going to be able to bounce back, but he's definitely got something to prove. And they drafted Derek Carr as well out of Fresno State. So the schedule looks a little bit too tough for Oakland. They were 4-12 last year. I don't see them making a ton of noise this year, but they did make a lot of noise in the offseason in free agency. Adam, how do you see the AFC West shaking out? I mean, do you see one legitimate team in Denver and then just a bunch of wannabes, or do any of these teams have a shot at making any real noise in the playoffs?
I think you'll see the Chiefs get back to the playoffs again. I do think that you're absolutely right that they're playing for second place in a division with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is going to be playing really inspired ball to get back, not just to the playoffs, but to get that home field advantage all the way through, to get that number one seed again. You know that's what he's aiming for. So I think, based on what I'm hearing you say, that you and I are going to be down the line agreed in the AFC West. I think it's Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders in that order.
Well, you know, really, I just kind of went off of last year's standings, and that's kind of how I'm going to introduce each team. But I mean, I could certainly see that happening again. I just feel like Denver's too tough for these teams, man. I mean, again, Peyton Manning on your team, you're guaranteed 11 wins, man. I don't think I ever remember, since his rookie season, I don't think I ever remember Peyton losing more than 6 games in a season. So 10-6, maybe a couple times, but basically he goes 11-5, 12-4, 13-3, or 14-2 every single year. So, I mean, even though the Broncos have a nightmare schedule, things are going to be much tougher on them. I don't think you're going to see the passing records fall like they did last year with Peyton, but if he stays upright, which he's prone to do, he'll just pick apart most every team that he goes against again, and Denver will cruise to 11-12 wins. I don't know if they'll have the home field advantage throughout the playoffs necessarily, but they'll be right there again because, I mean, I've said it 6 times already. If you have Peyton Manning, you're just going to win a bunch of games. That's just the way it is. Moving along, let's jump to his counterpart then, the AFC East. Obviously, the AFC East is where the New England Patriots dominate. Every single season, they dominate. And
there was much defecation.
That's just what they do. Now, it doesn't look like anybody in the division is going to compete with them yet again this year, provided that everything stays on the level as far as injuries are concerned. New England got lit up with injuries last year. They had injuries all over the place. And, you know, what's funny about the Patriots is that they still didn't really make that move for that big playmaking receiver like I thought they were going to help out Tom Brady. Again, you saw, I mentioned Denver losing Eric Decker, but they also brought in Emmanuel Sanders. He's a pretty good ball player. The Patriots, they brought in Brandon LaFell from Carolina, but I mean, he's kind of just a guy. He hasn't really made a name for himself. Now, he's going to be much better with Tom Brady throwing passes. No offense to Superman or Super Cam, but I mean, he's not. I mean, Golden Tate was out there. Hakeem Nicks was out there. Decker was out there. Bill Belichick decided not to go after any of these guys, and even Andre Johnson may have been out there for the taking, and they didn't make a deal for him either. So I thought that was weird that they didn't get that stud target. I guess they feel like their stud target is Rob Gronkowski. And Gronk was hurt at the beginning of the season, and he was hurt at the end of the season. And he tends to get hurt a lot. If by some miracle he can stay healthy for 16 games, the Patriots could easily go back to the Super Bowl again if he's healthy. I mean, that's just what it is. Gronkowski is the best tight end in the NFL. He's better than Jimmy Graham. The reason why he's better than Jimmy Graham is because he's a better blocker than Jimmy Graham. Now, if you want to take into account the injuries, then yeah, I don't have a problem with you putting Graham ahead of him. But just as far as who's a better football player, I'll take Gronk over Graham because he's equal of a pass. He's an equal as far as pass catching goes, and he's a better blocker. He's just a phenomenal football player. So to have him back, and he should be back for week one, it looks like, coming off that knee injury, that's going to be huge for Tom Brady. His receiving core was full of young guys, but they should be getting better this year. I feel like some of those young guys, Dobson and Tompkins, they didn't even know where to go half the time last year. They should be considerably better this year. But where Bill Belichick made his imprint in the offseason, though, was on the defensive side of the ball, because he went ahead and brought in Darrell Revis. He brought in Brandon Browner, and he re-signed Patrick Chung, who used to play for the Pats. And Darrell Revis still arguably the best corner in the league. They lost Aqib Talib, but they upgraded with Revis, and they brought in Brandon Browner from Seattle, who now has Super Bowl experience. I mean, the Pats were 30th against the run last year, and all they did was bring in Dominique Easley with the first-round pick as an interior lineman. So, I mean, they addressed the run-stopping issues, but they made it a point to work on their secondary. And I feel like, they're going to have Wolfork and Tommy Kelly coming back, so that'll help shore up that D-line, provided those guys can stay healthy. But they made it a point to fix their secondary, because they knew that in order to get to the Super Bowl, they got to go through that guy in Denver, number 18, right? So they went all in on the secondary, spending money specifically on Revis and Browner. Browner's out for the first four games with suspension, but he's going to be back. And those are two physical corners. And we saw what the physicality did to the Denver receivers in the Super Bowl, and Brandon Browner was a part of that. So you factor in Revis and Browner as physical corners that are going to be up in the grill of Denver's receivers. To me, this was clearly a shot across the bow at John Elway's crew out in the Mile High City. So it's hard to kind of see anybody taking over the Patriots coming into this season in the AFC East. I don't really see them losing more than four games. The Jets are going to be right there again. You have, they're always around, right? They always make the Patriots work. It's funny, the other AFC teams, they always make the Patriots work. But, I mean, I just don't see anybody challenging them. Adam, how do you feel about the AFC East as far as New England is concerned? Is New England just going to run roughshod over this thing again? And do you like any other team in the division?
You know, it's unfortunate that I have to agree with you. As a diehard, lifelong Colts fan, it's a sad fact that you look at that division and you just can't see anybody unseating the Patriots yet again. I mean, I would love for the Bills to step up to the plate and actually, like, and it's like you said, every team in the AFC seems to, you know, make the Patriots work, but nobody really has their number. Nobody can really, like, push them to the end and actually close out that, you know, close game or whatever that they seem to put the Patriots in. And I don't see it again this year. I think the Patriots are going to be great. Now, I do think they've put a lot of eggs in that Gronkowski basket, and that's going to be a really important storyline for them this year. Whatever happens to Rob Gronkowski, I think so go the Patriots. If he goes down again, I don't see the magic that Tom Brady can do. I didn't see it last year. He didn't overcome the entire AFC to get to the Super Bowl despite the injuries. Now, I will say I'm impressed with how far they went despite the injuries, but I don't see them being able to do that again, particularly if he goes down early in the season. I think even if he goes down early in the season, they still win their division, but I don't see them as a major threat in the playoffs if that's the case.
That's interesting. I feel like I kind of, you know, and again, I'm a pro Brady guy. Everybody knows that. Anybody that follows the show or follows me on Twitter or anything like that, they know that I'm a pro Tom Brady guy. And the fascinating thing about it was I was not always that way. Tom Brady went to Michigan. I'm from Ohio. I had no love for Tom Brady when he was in college. You know, I just thought he was a guy. And then when he came in the NFL, I still thought he was a guy. Even after he won the first Super Bowl, I thought he was just a guy on a good team. But he proved me wrong over the years and won me over and turned me into a huge fan. And so it was through his play and what he did on the field and the way he carries himself and the way he conducts business and the way that his team consistently wins, the consistent level of excellence, regardless of all the moving pieces around him. So he didn't have a ton of talent around him in the early years in New England. More talent, you could argue, was on the defensive side of the ball. He was throwing the ball to David Givens and Deion Branch and Troy Brown and Antoine Smith out of the backfield. And, you know, these were his playmakers, his weaponry, if you will. You know, where are those guys now? None of those guys are in Canton. You know, I mean, they were average ball players, but Tom Brady was able to elevate that team and elevate those guys around him. And then when they put pieces around him like Welker and Randy Moss, he set records. And so I think what we've learned is, and I think part of this is kind of Bill Belichick maybe putting too much pressure on Brady, but Tom Brady doesn't need a whole lot of stuff to get the job done. And we saw that again last year because Gronk was out, the defense was all banged up. You know, basically all he was throwing to was Julian Edelman and a bunch of rookies. And he had Shane Vereen was hurt for half the season out of the backfield. Steven Ridley couldn't hold on to the football. They had LeGarrette Blount carrying the load off the street, basically, out of the backfield for them. But I mean, they still made it to the AFC Championship game, and they still mopped the floor with a really good Colts team, no offense, in the playoffs. They won by like 20 points at home, so they still hosted a home playoff game. They still won their first playoff game by like 20 points, and they only lost to Denver by like 10 or I think 10 points roughly. So it's not like they were that far off considering all the stuff that went wrong. So if they can get a few things to go their way this year, I don't see why they won't be right back in it. But looking at the rest of the division real quick, I don't want to totally ignore that. Again, the Jets were 8-8 last year. They have a better defense, I think, than what people gave them credit for. I mean, Rex Ryan can always coach defense, and the Jets love to bring in a washed-up running back, and they did it again this time with Chris Johnson. I don't know if Chris Johnson is really washed up, but the Jets are known to keep an old running back in the backfield, and so now they're rolling the dice on CJ 1K. And they got Michael Vick now coming in to maybe help Geno Smith's development. I don't know whose team this is. I think Geno's going to get the first crack at it for his sake. I hope he makes it work. But they may be a better team if Michael Vick is the quarterback. And if you can imagine having Vick and Chris Johnson, the speed in that backfield, that's pretty impressive, even though those guys aren't spring chickens anymore. And they also added Jacoby Ford on offense. The Jets are way faster than what they were last year. And they brought in Eric Decker as a receiver as well. So it's really going to come down to two things, I feel like, for the Jets. One is Geno Smith, obviously. He had a stretch last year where he threw no touchdowns and 9 interceptions in consecutive games. Like if you add the stats together, he threw 0 TDs and 9 picks. So I mean, if Geno figures it out, that'll go a long way to helping him out. The other thing is they got to figure out what's what with this defense. Not to say that their defense is bad, because it's pretty good, but they've drafted defense first. They've had 6 first round picks since 2010, the Jets have, and they've used them all on defense. 3 of them on the D-line, 3 of them in the secondary. Now it's time for them to deliver. The problem is their schedule is murderous weeks 2 through 10. This is the New York Jets schedule weeks 2 through 10. They're at Cincy, home to the Giants, at Philly, home to the Raiders, then at Green Bay, home to Chicago, home to Detroit, at San Diego, home to Denver, at New England, home to Buffalo, at Kansas City, home to Pittsburgh. I think that's a very tough schedule, because the only easy games there really is Oakland and Buffalo. And outside of that, and those are division, well, one of them is a division game. You know, division games are always tougher. That's just a tough schedule for the Jets. I don't know if they'll be able to overcome that stretch. But another team, Miami Dolphins, were 8-8 last year. The Dolphins, you may remember, had the worst offensive line ever last year. I did a little research on their offensive line, as a matter of fact. And according to the Palm Beach Post, the Dolphins are going to be the first team since 2004 to have 5 new starters on the offensive line. They wiped the slate clean, because that offensive line was abysmal last year. They gave up 58 sacks last season. Is that a lot of sacks, you might be asking? Well, let me tell you. The Arizona Cardinals the year before also gave up 58 sacks, which is a ton, but the Dolphins gave up more quarterback hits. So we'll give the Dolphins the nod on the tiebreaker. Besides that, I don't think a team since 2006 had given up at least 58 sacks in a season. And then we had the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation on top of it. All those bums, get them all out of here anyway. They were all trash, and they deserve to go. And they got a new offensive line coach. And, yeah, I mean, they just wiped the slate clean, new general manager, everything. They brought in Knowshon Moreno, but he's got a little banged up knee. I don't think Knowshon's a very good football player. I think he thrived in that Denver system last year, but he cashed his paycheck. He's been an injury riddled player his entire career. He's in a contract year. He has a great season. He got paid. Now he's hurt again. So go figure. I kind of feel like it's a make or break year for Joe Philbin, though. This is his third season. You know, NFL coaches, Adam, they don't get much more than 2 or 3 years. Buffalo is the last team rounding out the division. They were 6-10 last year. EJ Manuel kind of got banged up last year, but we need to find out whether or not he's the real deal. And the other thing was Buffalo obviously made headlines in the offseason by picking up Sammy Watkins. Everybody loves Sammy Watkins, but they traded up to get him, and he's a wide receiver. I don't know how smart of a decision that was, considering we don't even know what EJ can do. I mean, granted, they want to put weapons around EJ, but if EJ is not the answer, and they spent all a first-round pick in next year's draft in a trade with Cleveland. This is not a scenario where the Atlanta Falcons traded up to get Julio Jones because they thought that that was going to be the piece that put them over the top to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? This is a scenario where the Bills won 6 games last year. They're not a very good team. They have a young quarterback. They lost some key guys on defense. Jarius Byrd, 3-time All-Pro, was gone. Kiko Alonso, terrific rookie season, blew out his knee, gone. There's rumors about the team moving and John Bon Jovi owning the team, Adam. And they're gonna move him to Toronto possibly. And now the fans are in upheaval, and it's just not a really good situation there. And to waste that pick on Sammy, I won't say waste, but to use that extra first round pick to move up to get Sammy Watkins, I don't know if I would have made that move. I could see them having a top 5 pick this year possibly, and then that pick going over to Cleveland. Adam, what do you think about the rest of the AFC East?
No, I think that's well said. I think so much of what you're saying is what I think, particularly with those other three teams. As far as the Jets go, you know that they're going to give the Patriots fits, but it's not going to make a difference in the postseason. You know that the Bills are going to give the Patriots fits, but it's not going to make a difference in the postseason. You know that the Dolphins are going to really try hard to be different than last year, but that's all that can be said. You know, there's not much worse that you can do, like you said, than giving up 58 sacks. There's no way that your quarterback's got the chance to succeed when you crumble that badly against the defensive line. So I hope the best for the rest of the NFC East as a diehard Indianapolis homer. I would love to see another team win that division. I don't think it's going to happen. And I do think you're right. It's a lot of stock to put in Sammy Watkins, a lot of pressure on EJ Manuel. But I really do think if you're going to say that EJ Manuel is your guy, then you tool the team around him and you do what you got to do to make that happen. Do I think it was worth a pick in next year's draft? I don't know. Maybe that's a lot. But I think that they're of the mindset that if they put the right pieces in place, they can win some games and make some noise. So I don't think that they're way off base with the Sammy Watkins thing, but I do think I don't think that you're wrong either, Justin, in that it might just be too much too soon when we really don't know the full on EJ Manuel story yet. We're not sure exactly who he is, but I think it lays out. I think the division lays out just like that. I would say it's, you know, the Patriots clear winning. Then I think it's the Bills and the Jets fighting for that second spot, and then the Dolphins bringing up the rear.
You know, it's funny. I remember hearing a stat. I don't know what the exact stat, but I've heard a stat, and it sounds accurate as I like think back in my head. But it was a stat like either no wide receiver taken in the top five has like ever won a Super Bowl, or has not ever won a Super Bowl in like the last X amount of years, but it goes back quite a few years, like some kind of weird stat like that. And you think back to guys, you know, Braylon Edwards, Calvin Johnson, even all those guys that Detroit took, Charles Rogers or whoever, AJ Green more recently, and now Sammy Watkins. Receivers, as great as they are, they don't tend to shake things up enough to warrant that high of a pick, or so it would appear. So I'm going to take a quick break, and hopefully I have enough time to do this, but let's take a quick break and introduce my man Bobby Shmurda to the podcast.
About a week ago, with us sitting there, we tweaking, ho, run up on that nigga, get the squeezing, ho.
Yeah, hitting the shmoney dance on the podcast, the shmoney dance, but we'll talk about that kid a little bit later on too, man, on the podcast or on the site or something, but getting back to the, let's go AFC South this time. And for the record, I do have the Patriots winning the AFC East. I think that goes without saying. AFC South, your Indianapolis Colts are there, Adam. A lot of people think that Andrew Luck is a top five quarterback in the league right now. And I don't know how off base that is. I think he's right there in the conversation. And the cool thing about the AFC South is that they play the AFC North and the NFC East. So I don't think that they're going to have a ton of tough teams there. Like, when I looked at the Colts schedule, it didn't look that difficult. You know, outside of the first place teams that they're going to play, I think they're over under, I think, for the Colts was like 9 or 9.5 games. I don't see how they go under that with Andrew Luck there. What's weird about the Colts to me is that they don't, besides Luck, they don't have any other real star power on the team, and they didn't do anything particularly great last year. Like, even when you look, I mean, they protected the ball really well. That was one thing. But even when you look at, they were like 17th in passing yards, 21st in rushing. They traded for Trent Richardson. That looks like a disaster. And Reggie Wayne got hurt. Ahmad Bradshaw got hurt. Thankfully, Chuck Pagano is healthy. But aside from that, I don't really see a ton anything special on this team. And yet, they're still a very good team on the rise. They finished 11-5, won the division last year. I don't see them slipping up this year. I see them winning a division again. I think where it gets interesting is with the other three teams in this division: Tennessee, Jacksonville, and the Houston Texans. Tennessee was 7-9, Jacksonville 4-12, Houston 2-14 last year. Looking at the Titans real quick, this is kind of it for Jake Locker. I kind of felt this way about Ryan Tannehill too. Jake Locker, this is kind of like, you got to show and prove now. He's had trouble staying healthy because he runs around a lot back there, but This is his team now. Chris Johnson is gone. They drafted Bishop Sankey to replace him. They got a new coach, Ken Wisenhunt, in there. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about this kid, Justin Hunter, the receiver. You know, he's supposed to be a monster, and they're saying he's coming, and he's real deal. And then from a purpose standpoint, again, they're going to be playing inspired ball because they just lost their owner, like Buffalo did. I didn't reference that earlier with Ralph Wilson's death. That's why the team is up for sale. That's why John Bon Jovi is about to buy the team, but or is going to try to. But yeah, so Bud Adams passed away last year, so they're going to be playing with that motivation. And they signed Sean Phillips and Wesley Woodyard to shore up the defense, and they also brought in Michael Orr and drafted an offensive lineman to shore up the trenches on the offensive side of the ball. So Tennessee might be moving in the right direction, but I'll tell you, a team that I like is Jacksonville. I wasn't a Blake Bortles guy going into the draft, but Blake Bortles has played really well so far in the preseason. Chad Henne's going to be the starter, but don't be shocked that Blake Bortles takes over before this season's out. And I'm not saying that Blake Bortles is great, but I'm saying that he's played really well in the preseason, and he certainly looks the part. Even though Justin Blackmon screwed up because he's a moron, they still went ahead and brought in Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson in the draft. And Jacksonville stunk last year, winning only 4 games, but they had a stretch where they went 4-1 in the second half of last year. So they're kind of putting it together a little bit. I like Gus Bradley. He was formerly the defensive coordinator in Seattle, so it is no coincidence to him bringing in Red Bryant and Chris Clemens to play that defensive line position down in Jacksonville. So they took that long flight from Seattle to Jacksonville, and they went to go ahead and ride with their old coach Gus Bradley. So I think that's a good move, because I think those are two very good football players. I can definitely see them winning at least 6 games. They even brought in Zane Beatles to help shore up that offensive side of the ball. They drafted the name escapes me, but they drafted a high pick last year on the offensive line. He broke his ankle, but now he's going to be back in the fold. I think Jacksonville's moving in the right direction. And then Houston, they ain't got no place but to move but up, right? I mean, they went 2-14 last year. Jadeveon Clowney, I guess now is his name. You put him with J.J. Watt, that's out of sight, man. They're gonna ball on the defensive line. Question is at quarterback though for Houston with Tom Savage and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't really know how that's gonna play out. I think Fitzpatrick is mildly underrated though. And I forgot to mention they brought in Lewis Nix on that defensive line too from Notre Dame. So, you know, Andre Johnson, he kind of was having a little episode in the preseason. I don't know how comfortable he is with losing anymore there. So if Houston gets off to a slow start, Andre Johnson might demand a trade midseason or might blow up the team somehow. I don't know. But But I see them being pretty good this year, considering they were 2-14 last year. I mean, they were a much better team than their record indicated last year. They won their first two games and then lost 14 in a row. They weren't that bad. So a lot of the same guys are in place. Adam, how do you see the AFC South shaking out? Feel free to take your time, because this is your squad, the Colts, man. What do you think?
Well, I'll start where you ended and say the Houston Texans are the best 2-14 team I've ever seen last year. They were so in every single one of those games, outside of the last few when it was just kind of clear they were hanging it up. But it was, to me, as a Colts fan, delightful. But that had to be dreadfully frustrating for the Houston fan base, because that team was in every last one of those games, and they were kind of a team of promise. They had J.J. Watt really doing his thing on the defensive side of the ball. They were strong in so many key areas, but they just couldn't seem to get it done. And then there was the Case Keenum thing, and he was really good, and then he was really bad, and it just wasn't the guy. You know, it was clear that was not the guy to hang the team's hat on. So I think that they're better than last year because, like you said, they've got nowhere to go but up in terms of their record. But I also think they're a stronger team. I think they're going to be better in the locker room as well. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's always been a guy that I look to in my fantasy league to put as a number two, because I think he puts up great numbers. I think you're right that he's underrated in a lot of ways as a leader of a team. I think he's going to do well in Houston. Now, I don't think that they're going to put enough games together to win the division. I think the Colts are better. I am pretty biased in that regard, but I still, you know, as objective as I possibly can be, I still think the Colts are better. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are a better team than they were last year. I agree with you on that. I don't think that when you go into a season predicting that you're going to have a quarterback change, that's the makings of a team that's going to win a division and go into the playoffs. I think that's like a recipe for we are building the future. We are seeing what Blake Bortles is made of, and I'm comfortable with that. I don't think that's wrong. I just don't see them being a major threat to the Colts at the top of the division. I think the Tennessee Titans are fine. They're going to give the Colts fits when they play twice. They always do. All of our division opponents do. But I think in the end, the Colts are the team to beat in this division. I think Andrew Luck is so good. And when you've got the guy, unlike Jacksonville, when you've got the guy at quarterback going into the season, and you know you're going to be like surrounding the team on this guy, it's a comfortable feeling. I know every week that Andrew Luck is going to be our quarterback, barring injury. And if we have Reggie Wayne healthy all season, we're a very threatening offense. Whoever's in the backfield at running back, we have some great receivers, and some guys like Griff Whalen and some of these other ancillary receivers really stepped up and did a great job to finish out the year last year. Let's not forget, we beat the Broncos, who were playing great football when they came to Indianapolis. We beat them because we had Reggie Wayne, because he was unstoppable that night. Unstoppable until obviously he got stopped by his own knee. But I will say that if we have a healthy Reggie Wayne for 16 games, we're going to be a very tough out in the playoffs, because we've got so many threats up and down that wide receiver core. So my prediction is the Colts come off the top of the AFC South again this year, which I'll be excited about. And then you've got kind of a menagerie of competition for second, third, and fourth. I really couldn't tell you who's going to finish below us, but I do think the Colts win again this year.
Who's the second best team in this division?
If I had to say it right now, I'd say the Houston Texans. I think that the Jadeveon Clowney move is a big one on their defense. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a consistent quarterback, which I can't say for the other two teams. I don't think Jake Locker is necessarily the guy. And obviously you've got Blake Bortles, who's fresh and not going to be starting the year probably. So I think the Houston Texans might actually leapfrog the other two teams, but I don't know.
I think they certainly could. I just think that, you know, the question comes with the quarterback play. We've seen good Ryan Fitzpatrick and we've seen bad Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think we've all danced with him on our fantasy teams before, as you mentioned before. I mean, I had him on a team 1 year. I paired him with Matthew Stafford before Stafford blew up statistically, and together I called him Staff Patrick. And they were a force to be reckoned with in fantasy. Well, no, they weren't. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. But yeah, let's get off the AFC South for a second. I want to get your thoughts first. We're going to switch it up this time. I'm going to have you go first and tell me what you think about the AFC North, home of my Cleveland Browns, who have been all over the news this offseason. What do you think of the AFC North? Cincinnati won it last year. Baltimore and Pittsburgh were both 8-8 last year, and obviously they're itching to get back. I mean, those two teams are always competitive, and then the Browns typically are bringing up the rear, but they've won the offseason headlines. What do you make of the AFC North?
It's a really interesting division. Without a doubt, it's a really interesting division. I'll say that it has been so fun to see the Cleveland Browns in the news so much. I cannot tell you if there's ever been a time in my life where I have seen in the Sports Center roll call down the left hand side that they're going to be taking the crew live to Cleveland Browns preseason training camp to do kind of an on site interview there. The fact that that's featured on Sports Center is blowing my mind. So regardless of Johnny Manziel's play on the field, what that's going to look like this season, it's great for visibility for the team because they're relevant, they're interesting, they're fun to watch. I was tuning into a Cleveland Browns preseason game this last week when they were on Monday night, and I didn't give a rip. I completely forgot that the Colts played two nights before that. I didn't know.
You loved it, didn't you?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, I'll say this, Jay. You and I got really close, and it warmed me to Cleveland fandom. It warmed me to the plight of the Cleveland sports fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I am so sorry for you. Sorry for me. My goodness, I'm getting just a taste of it. And oh, man. So you and I got close, and then now I'm working in a place where I'm just an adjacent cube away from another Cleveland native who loves sports. He's a sports writer on the side of working where we work, and he's a Cleveland guy for all of his sports. So he's an Indians guy, he's a Browns guy, he's a Cavs guy, and I'll tell you, man, he is so jacked up about LeBron James coming back, but he's also excited that Cleveland sports is relevant, ubiquitously. You're looking at the NFL, you're looking at the NBA, and you're talking about Cleveland, which is just crazy. So anyway, enough about that, because I don't think that they're still going to win this division. With all of that said, I don't think Manziel's your answer, not this year. If the preseason's any indication, he's got a lot of growing up to do. The way that John Gruden commentated what was going on inside Johnny Manziel's brain as he stood in the huddle and let the game clock wind down to the point where he was going to have to call timeout, he did that once or twice, totally blew my mind. Gave me a lot of respect for John Gruden that I pretty much already had, but it was still very impressive. But I think that he's just got a lot of learning to do, which is fine for me. But if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, or if you're somebody who's kind of just impatient with a big name player like that, maybe it's not okay in the short long term. But I just think that's a team on the rise, but they're not there yet for sure. And the other two teams besides the Bengals, the Steelers and the Ravens, those are teams that are really trying to figure out who they are. The Ravens are coming off. 2 years ago, they were the Super Bowl champions, and now they're in a real identity crisis. A massively overpaid quarterback, and then a defense that's so nebulous because of the loss of Ed Reed and Ray.
Lewis.
Ray Lewis. I got confused with him and Ray Rice. I'm sorry about that. Two Rays. Anyway, so with losing those two key pieces on their defense, I just think they're trying to figure out who they are. And then you've got Ray Rice, who's causing major issues for them that you just don't need in a locker room with all this stuff with his fiance, now wife, in the offseason. That's just a bad look, and it's not the kind of team that you want to bring into the season that have had such kind of a tumultuous offseason. You'd rather have the buzz that Cleveland's got, even if you're not going to be great, to be honest with you, if I were to have my druthers. But then at the end of the day, I really think Cincinnati's got the right pieces in place to make another divisional win this year. I think they're better on all sides of the ball than all the rest of the teams in the division. And I could see them sweeping the division this year. I don't think that these games, particularly when they play at home and it's a little bit easier, I don't think those games are going to be even close. I think Cincinnati's pretty strong. I think Dalton's a little bit overpaid, but I think you're going to see the Bengals on top of the AFC North. I will dish to you, Justin. What do you think?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, this is where we're going to have our first kind of noteworthy disagreement. The Bengals, I'm not sure where their head is at right now. They've gone to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and they've gotten beat 3 years in a row. And I think their defense is really good, and they're getting some guys back. You know, they just paid Vontaze Burfict. They got Geno Atkins, Leon Hall coming back, although Leon Hall is a bum in my opinion. But, you know, people seem to like him, and he's coming back. Andy Dalton. We talked about Alex Smith in the playoffs. Andy Dalton in the playoffs, he's 0-3 with a 57% completion percentage, one touchdown, six picks, and a 56 passer rating. I feel like it might be in his head a little bit. Now, granted, he just got a huge vote of confidence from the organization because they just gave him that ridiculous contract. But I don't know if this team has it. Whatever it is, I just don't know if it's there. And after the way they lost to San Diego at home in the playoffs last year, I'm not sure if they're ever going to get there with Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis as the two key cogs in that system. I think Giovanni Bernard is a great talent. I think A.J. Green is one of the top three or four receivers in the league. I think they're a very talented team, very well-rounded, and they have an excellent defense, but I just don't trust Dalton and Marvin Lewis. I think after progressing 3 years in a row in the standings, I think Cincinnati takes a step back this year. It's just a gut feeling. Baltimore, I agree, the Ray Rice cloud hanging over everything is not a good look. They did bring in Steve Smith, and I think his leadership and edginess, I think, is going to help replace some of what was lost when Ray Lewis and Ed Reed left, because Lord knows they need some leadership right now. But I think Steve Smith is going to bring that in spades. But I think Joe Flacco is trash, and I think he's been masquerading as a good quarterback for some time now. And I feel like he had that one amazing playoff run 2 years ago where he was lights out, and I take my hat off to him for it. Aside from that, what has he done in his career? Last year, they gave him this huge contract because he came off the Super Bowl. They kind of had to do it. He throws 19 touchdowns and 22 picks, which was 10 more interceptions than any other year in his career. Ray Rice looks like he's breaking down, so their running game is in question, and Ray Rice had all this off-the-field stuff. Their passing game might be in question because Joe Flacco stinks. I don't know if they have enough on the offensive side of the ball to get the job done. They do have an easy schedule down the stretch, and that's working in their favor. They're at Miami versus Jacksonville, at Houston versus Cleveland to end the season. So that's not too terrible. But they do have three straight division games to start the year, which is kind of weird, I think. But getting over to my Cleveland Browns real quick. I don't even know where to begin. I could do a whole podcast on the Browns, and I chose not to. But my goodness, their owner just got fined $92 million. That's what it takes. That's the price to get out of prison. That's the get out of jail free card. In Monopoly, they just give those away. No, in real life, they cost $92 million. That's how much they cost Pilot Flying J to keep Jimmy Haslam out of the pokey. You know what I'm saying? They made the decision to play Brian Hoyer over Johnny Manziel. I understand it. I think the national media is being a little too hard on Manziel and the handling of the quarterback competition, because the new narrative that I'm hearing everywhere is that, well, they split the reps between Hoyer and Manziel, and now there's no continuity with either guy. And they're saying that as if this is the first time there's been an open competition in camp. They wanted this competition to be as fair as possible. It's not fair if you give Johnny just the second team reps and you give Hoyer all the first team reps. That's not a fair fight, because Hoyer's playing with better playmakers than Johnny is, better offensive line, better everything. So it doesn't make sense that they would not split the reps. So now that they split the reps, everybody's coming down on the management of the Browns as an organization. I think that's ludicrous. I don't understand what the problem is with having an open competition and making it as fair as possible between two guys. I think the fact that Manziel is such this media monster only adds to the complexity of the situation. And the fact that Brian Hoyer is coming off an ACL injury himself. There's a lot of moving parts here with this Cleveland team. I don't feel like the quarterback situation was handled as poorly as the national media is making it out to be. Specifically because suppose Johnny or Hoyer just happened to have a good game the other night. Nobody's saying any of this stuff. If they just happen to play well, instead of throwing balls in the dirt 10 yards down the field, if they stop throwing these dirt balls and start hitting receivers in stride once or twice, I think the whole narrative is different. You know, I don't think you hear as many people criticizing. You weren't hearing them criticize at the beginning when they played the Detroit game, and neither one looked great, but Johnny looked a little better. Johnny looked a little better in both games, and he still didn't win the job. But people are still coming down on the Browns for that. I don't really understand it. I still think, as I wrote on the site this week, I think Johnny's going to be starting by week 5. I think Hoyer's, they're going to give him the tough part of the schedule. The Browns' schedule is marshmallowy soft in the middle, like an Oreo, right? And then it gets tough at the end of the season. But I think when that schedule gets soft, I think that's when you're going to see Johnny take the field. And then the Josh Gordon situation, I could talk for hours about that because it's ridiculous how they have not made an official ruling on who was the best wide receiver in the league last year. He's a big part of our team. I think the Browns have a right to know whether or not they're going to have this guy. Furthermore, if he gets suspended for a year, that means it's 1 year from that day. So that means he's going to be suspended for all of next offseason's activities. That leads me to believe that he's not going to be suspended that long. I feel like Josh Gordon is only going to get 8 games or even maybe less, which is great for Cleveland, but I still don't know if I think the Browns are going to be better than people give them credit for, but I don't know if they're going to have enough to really make any noise. Lastly, you have the Steelers. They had a little incident last night with their running backs, you know, blowing trees in the car and getting pulled over for it or whatever. But the Steelers, they brought in more Ohio players. They brought in Ryan Shazier from Ohio State, Dree Archer from Kent State. Pittsburgh, they think they're the greatest, or they think they're the hot stuff or whatever, but I mean, y'all would be trash if you didn't draft Ohio players every year and get Ohio guys in there to run your team and Ohio coaches and everything else. So that's just me taking shots as a Cleveland fan, but I stand by all of that stuff. They brought in Lance Moore and Darius Hayward Bay, and they have a late bye week, which I think is good for them because that'll prepare them for a tough end of the season. I like Pittsburgh this year to actually bounce back and win the division, sad to say. And it's not that Cincinnati can't win. I think Cincinnati's going to be right there, but I don't know. I just feel like Pittsburgh's going to bounce back and win it. They're going to be the best of four not very impressive teams, I think, in the North. And then I have the two wild card teams I haven't named yet. So to recap, I have the Patriots, Steelers, Broncos, and Colts winning the divisions. And then the wild card, I'm going Kansas City like you, Adam, and I'm going to shock some people here. Just a gut feeling. I could be wrong. Gut feeling. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars to make the playoffs. I just like what they've done in the offseason, and I like Gus Bradley. And I think if Bortles can come in and manage the game and they get some good or good running game going with Toby Gerhardt, I think they could sneak in there. I don't know how really or why, but and then as far as the AFC Championship pick, man, you would think I would get tired of picking the New England Patriots, man, but I can't help myself. I just feel like Tom Brady he gets it done in the playoffs. I mean, he's not perfect. He's not flawless. You know, he lost in the playoffs last year and he won. I get all that, but they got to the conference championship with nothing last year. I don't see how they don't. I don't see how they don't at least get back to the AFC title game this year if they can stay healthy. And I feel like everything went right for the Broncos last year, and they still didn't get it done at the end. And it's so hard for teams to get back to that point. They had great weather in the playoffs in Denver last year, and they still didn't win the whole thing. Adam, who's your AFC champion, real quick?
Wait, so who's yours? It's Patriots then?
It's the Patriots. I don't really want to pick them, but I'm picking them again. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You can't stop me.
Well, a lot of this is going to be the same. I love the Broncos. The Colts are coming out of that division. I think the Bengals, which is our notable disagreement. I think the Patriots. So as far as my AFC champion, man, that is tough. I think in the absence of a real contender across the board, I'm picking the Broncos to go back. I really don't think any of these teams is coming up that much. And I don't think that the Patriots have enough weapons around Tom Brady to overtake Peyton Manning in the playoffs. So, barring an injury on the Broncos side, I think they're going to be as good as they were last year, even without Decker. So, I think they're going back.
That's not crazy, man. That's not crazy at all. I mean, they improved that defense. I think they took a little from the offense and gave to the defense in Denver, and I think that was the shrewd move. So I don't think if DeMarcus Ware can come back healthy and Von Miller can come back healthy, I mean, now you got a pretty nasty pass rush up in Denver again. Who are your wild card teams, by the way?
Well, I think one of them is going to be the Chiefs, and I'm just wrestling with who the other one's going to be. I think it's going to be probably the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think you know, Big Ben is the most reliable quarterback outside of the AFC West. When you look at like Denver, Kansas City, San Diego having Phillip Rivers. I'm trying to look around these other teams and think, I just don't think any of these other teams has that identifiable leader on the offense. Baltimore definitely doesn't have it. So I'm picking the Bengals to win the AFC North. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the other team to come out of the AFC North. I don't think the AFC West is bringing three. So I think it's Kansas City Chiefs is wild card one and Pittsburgh Steelers wild card two.
See, I have the main reason why I have the Jags is because I feel like one of the other teams in the AFC South is going to make it. I just like the AFC South schedule. And so yeah. There's always a team that jumps up from nowhere and makes the playoffs. Every year, a team that wins four or five games jumps up and makes the playoffs. I feel like it could be Jacksonville this year because if you look at that schedule, I feel like the AFC North schedule might be too difficult. The AFC North plays the AFC South and the NFC South. The NFC South isn't easy, so I just feel like somebody from the AFC South will jump up and make that last playoff spot. We're out of time. I wish we had more time, but we've actually been at it for over an hour. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. You can find Adam on Twitter at AdamTweetsNow. You can hit up us at HipHopSportsReport.com and find us on Twitter at HHSReport. Hit us on Facebook, Hip Hop Sports Report. We're on Facebook there. Like us and then hit us on iTunes, the podcast. We're coming back again with the NFC preview shortly, but there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Patriots and Broncos. Shocker. Adam, good night. Anything else you want to finish up with?
No, just thanks for having me, man. So great to do this with you again. This is just such a good feeling. The All Football Show has just come alive to me again this evening. So I'm really thankful for that. Thankful for you and thankful to have been at your beautiful wedding and wedding reception a couple of weeks ago. Y'all, if you didn't get to make it, they threw down a phenomenal party, and I was really happy I got to be there. So thanks for having me tonight, Justin. Look forward to doing the NFC with you sometime soon.
Thank you so much, man. All Football Show never dies. The preseason podcast of the year. We out of here, y'all. Peace.